Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Brishus Therabayim. I know everyone has a lot of tests. You have a lot of tests on your mind, both in terms of Torah, Bechinas, and other tests to conclude the year. So I want to share a thought with you to help you to stay calm. Because already three people, I've only walked into the yeshiva about 15 minutes ago, and already three, maybe four people have come over to me seeking brachos and seeking counsel and trying to stay calm for the many bechinas that you have coming your way. And I want to give you something that might help you from a Torah perspective to maintain a little bit of yishuv hadas. I'll start with a mashal that I saw. I saw it not in a Torah source, but I think it's a very Torah true mashal. It goes as follows. It says, one time there was a farmer and he owned a horse. So he walks out one day, he walks out into his yard, he's ready to perform his malacha, and this horse is critical for his parnasa. So without this horse, he can't make a living. And as he's walking outside for another day of work, all of a sudden his horse picks up and starts galloping and just takes off, disappears, runs off. And the guy's standing there, he's watching, the horse disappeared on him, he's got nothing without his horse. So his neighbor, standing on the other side of the fence, turns to him and he says, I feel terrible for you. That's so awful what just happened with your horse. Such bad luck has befallen you. So the fellow says to his neighbor, he turns back to him and he says, maybe. Could be it was bad. Maybe. So his friend thinks it's a little strange. Maybe. I mean, it's bad. You just lost your parnasa. Your horse ran away. He says, maybe. He says, the next day, all of a sudden, the horse comes back and he has with him two other horses. So his neighbor on the other side of the fence looks at him and he says, wow, unbelievable. You're so fortunate. I thought it was so bad when your horse disappeared. Now your horse came back with two other horses. Now you have three horses. Think about how successful you're going to be, how much more productive you're going to be able to be. And once again, he turns to his neighbor and he says, maybe. Could be. Next day, his 18-year-old son decides that he wants to learn how to ride the horse. His father's been training him for years how to work with horses. You know, Abba, Dad, Tati, it's time for me to ride the horse. I want to ride the horse. So his father says, okay, you know, you have to be careful when you ride the horse. He gets him on the horse. He's showing him, giving him a lesson how to ride the horse. And he's riding around and he seems pretty good at it. He's getting pretty comfortable. All of a sudden, the horse gives a kick and his son goes flying off the horse. And the son lands on the ground bends his leg in a very uncomfortable way, twists his leg, injures his leg. He's crying, he's screaming in pain on the floor. And the father runs over and he says, oh, I told you to be careful. And he quickly picks him up and he's bandaging him. He's in terrible, terrible pain. His leg is clearly broken. And again, this neighbor, who apparently has nothing better to do than stand by the fence and give advice, he turns to him and he says, your son, that's such a tragedy. What happened to your son? I feel a young, healthy man, and now he's going to be in that cast for weeks, maybe months. And once again, he says to him, maybe. Maybe it's unfortunate. Until finally, the very next day, and this is where the mashal ends, in case you're wondering how long this is going to go on, the very next day, all of a sudden, the group of soldiers arrive at his home. And as his neighbor's son is drafted into the army, they take a look at this young man, all bandaged up with the broken leg, and they exempt him from going off to the battlefield. And his neighbor says, wow, you're so lucky, your son was spared from going to war. Such a frightening experience for the parents. Your son was spared because he broke his leg. He was unable to be drafted into the army. And once again, he says, maybe. So I was thinking about this mashal. What's the pshat in this mashal? Everything's maybe. You never really know if it's going to work out good, is it going to work out bad. It could be a very cynical mashal. It could be a very negative mashal. But I went to a chasana this past week, one of my talmidim, and I was sitting by the chuppah, and I was waiting for the wedding to begin, and I had a little chumash with me, and I was just looking at the parsha, and something jumped out at me that I never noticed before. The Torah describes how during the day, the Mishkan had a cloud that covered over the Mishkan. And by night, we know there was an Esh. Elsewhere in the Torah, again, a similar image when the Klai Yisrael would travel. A cloud by day and a fire by night. And I was thinking about that imagery that the Torah is presenting to us. And it struck me. Isn't that interesting? A cloud by day and a fire by night. What does daytime represent? What's the concept of Yom? Yom, very often, is synonymous, it alludes to a time where there's tremendous clarity, where everything makes sense. Night, on the other hand, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel. It says night implies something that's a little bit more frightening, a little more confusing, a little less clear, a lot more unknown. So I was thinking, isn't that so interesting that by day, which is a time where it's supposed to be so clear and make perfect sense, there's a cloud? Because a cloud, I would think, a cloud represents something that's not exactly 100% clear. So the thought of a cloud by day, the cloudiness by day, is an interesting image. And a fire, a divine fire, by night, that there should be a flame illuminating the night, night which is supposed to be dark and frightening and confusing, to have that Eish, Shamala, that heavenly light guiding the way, giving clarity in the dark times. And I was thinking about this mashal, I said, wow, isn't it interesting how sometimes the things that look like they're so clear, that look like they're so good for us, sometimes they end up a little bit cloudy. And the things that look sometimes to not be working out, where I feel frightened, I feel confused, I feel anxious about something very important, or maybe something in the grander scheme of things, like a test that you might take, which I'm not, God forbid, belittling, but in the grander scheme of your life, it's maybe less important. Right? And yet sometimes the thing that looked like didn't work out so well, in the end, it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu putting you on a different path, lighting a different road for you to travel on. And the thing that in your life that you wanted it to be a certain way, that you thought was so good, in the end it turned out to be a little cloudy. So how does a person make sense of life, if that's how it goes? If there's a cloud by day and a fire by night, if we never know, if everything's really just maybe, because we only see our little slice of life, so how do you walk through this world in the right way? And I think the Torah gives us the answer in the clearest of ways right afterwards. Because what does the Torah say a couple of psukim later? Al pi Hashem yachanu. Al pi Hashem yisa. That if I travel with Hashem, if I camp with Hashem, if I live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even though I don't know 100% how to interpret any situation, but you know what? If I go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I do my best, I have nothing to worry about. And then I have a sense of Yishuv Adas. Our family was in Los Angeles for Shavuos. So we got to the airport a little late on the way home. We were running a little bit behind schedule. It wasn't, I wouldn't say it was, I was nervous, b'derech hateva, that I was going to miss my flight, but it would have been nice to be at the airport 20 minutes, 25 minutes earlier. But I was pretty confident, again, under normal circumstances, I'd make my flight, it would just be a little more, you know, pressure. So I said to myself, and I really said it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I really said it, and I was very proud of myself, and I said, Moshe Tzvi, you're going to make the flight. Under normal circumstances, you're going to make this flight. So I said, I could be stressed for the next hour getting to the flight, or I could know that, so of course, I'm going to make the flight anyways, so why should I make myself crazy? I'll be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to make the flight. B'derech HaTeva. I walk with Hashem. I'm going to be a person who understands that Hashem runs the world. If I'm supposed to really miss the flight, I'm going to miss the flight anyways. And b'derech hateva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me get onto this flight. So why should I be anxious? Why should I be nervous? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You know what happened after that? Unbelievable things happened. We got to the gate. Our little Yaakov, who's 2 years old, started to get a little fidgety in his stroller, which of course, again, that's the thing that the parent who's running late and waiting on a long line is being uptight about, is being anxious about. And you know what? A nice person said, oh, you have a child with you? We'll take you straight to the front of the line. So all of a sudden, next thing I know, I was through security, I was at the gate, nice and early. We get on the plane, and again, I'm nervous. The kid's going to behave on the plane, a two-year-old on the plane, he's going to be screaming the whole time, it's a six-hour flight, what's going to be? Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We get to our seats, the last three rows of the plane, we have a middle and an aisle, and a middle and an aisle, the last two rows of the plane, and the two window seats, out of order. I don't know what that means, out of order, but there was a sign on it that said this seat is temporarily out of order, and we had two extra seats right next to us, because I gave it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisal. Do I know for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding to that tefillah katsara that I davened in the airport? I don't know. But you know what? I was very proud of myself. That's the way a Jew should walk through this world. To be able to say, Al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisal. I walk with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't have complaints, I don't have tainas. I walk with Hashem and everything's going to be okay. Everything's mamash going to be okay when I walk with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the opposite of this? We only have 2 minutes left before we have to daven mincha. What's the opposite approach of a person? What's the opposite of approach of a person who walks with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? who's able, like the Baal Shem Tov explains, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid doesn't just mean to have Hashem before you at all times. But Shivisi, you know what Shivisi means? Shivisi means that everything is Shaveh. That everything is Shaveh. How do I make my whole life Shaveh? How am I calm in all situations? How do I know how to absorb the good moments in a balanced way? Not to be overjoyed in a way that could be gaivadik. How do I not get overwhelmed if things didn't work out as well as I would have liked? How do I have the strength to keep going? How do I maintain that spiritual equanimity, that peace of mind, that yeshiva das? So the Baal Shem Tov says, Shivisi, if you want everything to be shaveh, it's what? It's negdi tamid. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is opposite you at all times, then you're calm. Then you're able to be okay. Then you can go sit down for your final, knowing that you studied the best you could. And Amir Tzashem, you'll do well. And if God forbid you didn't do, you don't do as well as you would like, it's okay. It's okay. You know that life will go on. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu hasn't abandoned you. And your life's going to still be okay. And it could be it's better for you that way. We don't know. Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I walk with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The opposite is the person who's always complaining, who's never satisfied. Who always says that nothing's good enough for me. That even when things work out, yeah, but it could have been better. And when things are bad, they give up hope and they feel very frustrated. And guess what? In this past week's parasha, the same way we met this pasuk, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisau, we also met a lot of complainers. We met people who have tainas on Hashem, tainas on Moshe Rabbeinu, tainas on the Man. People who say, nothing's good enough. My teachers aren't good enough. And my chaverim aren't good enough. And the test wasn't fair. And people complain about everything. So I'll tell you a beautiful mashal from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I'll end with this. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, one of the Gedolei Ador, in his Sefer Derech Sicha, brings a beautiful mashal. He says, yes, there are people who complain a lot. And they're always listening to complaints, and they're responding to complaints, and they don't walk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what happens? They make themselves crazy. Listen to the mashal he brings. He says, a father, his son, and a donkey are traveling on the road. The father's riding on the donkey, the son's walking alongside this donkey. They're traveling along. All of a sudden, they come to an intersection, and a fellow stops them and says to the father, you're sitting on the donkey, enjoying yourself, but where's your rachmanis on your son? Making your son walk the whole way? Don't you love your son? So the fellow says, okay, it's a good point. So he gets off the donkey, and his son sits down on the donkey. However, listen what happens. They're walking a little bit further. Walk a little bit further down the road. They get to the next intersection. And another person stops them and turns to the son, who's now sitting on the donkey, and says, where's your kibbut av? You're riding on the donkey and making your father schlep along. Where's the respect for your father? Okay, that's a good point. So now the father and the son, they both climb onto the donkey. And they're traveling along. They get to the next intersection. And someone stops and says, "Nu, two people and one donkey. Where's your rachmanis on the donkey? No rachmanis on the donkey. Maybe. It's a good point. It's a fair point." So the two of them get off the donkey. Now all three are walking along the road. The father, the son, and the donkey are traveling along the road. And they get to the final intersection. And someone stops and says, two people walking with a donkey, shouldn't someone at least be riding? So having exhausted all the other options, they pick up the donkey and they put the donkey on their shoulders. And the father and the son, they're walking down the road. So at least someone should get a ride. They're carrying the donkey. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, a person who's always going to have to respond to different, to others, and to the complaints of others, will eventually come to do irrational things. And that's what you see, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael struggling in the Midbar, with all sorts of complaints, and Moshe Rabbeinu trying to respond in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. So I give you a bracha. For all the tests that you have to take at the end of the Zman, the end of the school year, right, you should be a person who walks with, again, with that Yishav Adas. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Do the best you can, you do your shtadlis, you study hard, you take it seriously, and at the end of the day, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is going to be. So try to go into it, take a deep breath, you're going to do great. Baruch Hashem, the Talmidim and Heichal Torah always do great, and they always make us proud. And Amir Tzashem, if you walk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way, you'll have a lot more Yishav Adas in your own life. And in that way, Kadosh Baruch Hu will look at you and say, good, this is a person who understands at the end of the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And Amir Tzashem, in response to that, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you a lot of success and a lot of bracha in your life.